Hey, everyone. Welcome to Business Aspirin. I'm your host, Clint Janelle. And today with me, I have Steve Hill. And Steve is with Integrity Restoration out of Pearland. Steve, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. So super excited to have you on and talk about some of the wisdom you've had because you've been at this for a while.
Just a little bit. Yes, sir.
I think my understanding is 21 years.
I think I'm about 24 right now. Yeah.
24 now. Well, let's talk a little bit about that because you own and operate Integrity Restoration.
Yes, sir.
And so there was a start somewhere that got you into the service industry and the restoration space specifically. Let's talk about that a little bit.
It was a total accident. I came from the restaurant industry, and my wife was working for a service master at the time, and I needed some work done in my restaurant. So I had her owner come in and look at it. And he told me that day when he was leaving, he's like, if you ever want to change industries, he's like, give me a call. And about 3 weeks later, I gave him a call and I said, you know what? I'm ready for a change. And I've been here pretty much ever since.
Okay. And so you jumped off from, did you own your own restaurant or just operating a restaurant?
Operating. I was general manager.
Okay. So then you had a lot of experience and wisdom in terms of managing teams and managing a business that you brought with you when you stepped into the restoration space. So you started with a service master.
Yeah, sure did.
And then talk to me a little bit about that. Like what did you do there? How did it start?
It was a struggle.
Yeah.
I was hired originally as an operations manager, and I very quickly moved into the GM role, which honestly I wasn't ready for.
Okay.
So the learning curve was very steep. I knew nothing about the industry. I barely knew what an air mover and a DHU was.
Sure.
So it was a definite challenge.
Sure. And so there's going to be people that are going to have some similar experience that are looking to start their own. And that's why we're here, right? Is we're trying to navigate some of those things. So you weren't prepared for it. You weren't ready. You didn't understand the ins and outs of restoration, but yet you still had a way to overcome that. How did you get from operations to GM, and what steps did you take that helped you begin learning how to navigate it so you could be effective and stay in it for 24, 25 years, wherever we're at now, and own your own?
So from operations to the GM was a total accident. It was, again, another accident. The general manager was let go, and the owner needed somebody to step in and run that location. So I just happened to be right time, right place. So that's how that happened. The steps I took as far as, you know, getting myself ready, I read everything I could read. The owner actually believed you couldn't manage something unless you've done it. So I was on a lot of jobs with the crews, fire, mold, water, even content jobs, you know, learning hands on. And even today I have that philosophy. You can't manage something if you don't know how to do it. So you might understand how to manage people. You might understand, you know, P&Ls, but you can't effectively manage the business if you've never done the work.
Okay. And I think that's a good nugget too, right? Is what happens in a lot of the space, like service industry overall, is you have technicians. Most of the time you have technicians that know how to do the work that have decided they can go do this on their own and they can do something themselves.
Yep, I've seen it.
And that's where most of the industry openings come from, is technicians going, hey, I can do this. And they go start their own business. And sometimes they have the ability, sometimes they don't. And then there are anomalies like you that came into the space without knowledge of the restoration space. So I don't disagree with you. I think you're right that in order to really be able to manage a restoration project, an HVAC project, plumbing, whatever it is, I think you have to have some understanding of at least what is being accomplished. You may not have to know everything about it, but you have to have the general understanding of what are we doing here? And then you can build some processes in place around the rest of it, right? So, okay. So in that environment, what is something that you wish you had known before you took this role on?
You know, there's a lot of things looking back at it over the years that, you know, maybe if I had known it, I wouldn't be here. One of the big things is the time commitment. I came from the restaurant business, so I was already used to working a lot of hours, but my schedule was pretty much, I knew what it was going to be.
Sure.
There were very few anomalies where I had to go in unexpectedly. Here, the phone rings and you go to work. And that's something I've seen a lot of people coming into the industry weren't prepared for either. You know, they think their time is their time, and it really isn't. You don't make money unless you're on a job.
That's
so great. That I think that was one of my biggest struggles. After I'd been in it for a few years, I actually got to where I appreciated that. I've gotten to do things with my kids that if I'd stayed in the restaurant business or worked at a 9-to-5 job somewhere, I would have never gotten to do.
That's correct. And so, it's hard. It's hard on both ends of that, right? It's
yeah.
It's hard to, like in my case, I've got 3 kids. And when you get started in the restoration space, you have to make that commitment to go to work when the phone rings. And sometimes that's Friday night when you're headed out to dinner and you got to go, hey, sorry, guys, I got to go to work.
And they I can't tell you how many times that's happened.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about what that impact is like and what that's accomplished, what that meant to your family, and then what's it accomplished in terms of you being able to go, you know what, I can go to my kid's game now. Because I don't have to work at 4 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. I can be free for a little bit. Talk about it.
I was fortunate. You know, like I said before, my wife was in the industry. She was a receptionist at the time. And she stayed in the industry and moved up in the industry. And so she knew what it was all about. So I didn't have that struggle that a lot of industry people have where the spouse just doesn't get it. My daughter, same thing. You know, she was 2 when I got into the industry, and she's just grown up in it. She's actually in the industry with me now, and she's coming up through it the same way I did. So, you know, I started as a tech, moving her way up. So I didn't have a lot of the struggles a lot of other people might with the family not understanding.
Sure.
But my daughter would tell you today, you know, because of what I do, she was very glad I was able to do some of the things with her that her friend's parents weren't. So that's a definite plus.
Yeah. And so that makes connections even better and stronger, right? With the family that way. As long as everybody understands. Most people won't have someone that was already in this restoration space or the service industry space when they decide to do this. And in my case, right, like we kind of fell into restoration. I grew up in the industry doing indoor air quality assessments and writing remediation plans for all kinds of guys initially, then moved to DFW because, you know, at the time, early 2000s, you know, insurance companies were pulling out of the state for mold coverage and
right.
You know, all the different things that were happening at the time. I pivoted to do some other stuff for a little bit because it made sense. And then 2008, the economy tanked, and it was, you know, back to, okay. And I just had my first child was born. So he was born 17 years ago. And, you know, then we're in a bind and a struggle where, okay, now the economy's tanked. I'm losing my tail and some real estate, and some other things that I'm doing. And I hit Galveston. That was an opportunity for me to go to work, make some things happen and get back in the space. So I got into it accidentally as well. And my wife had to begin to appreciate what it meant to, like, you work when you can work in this industry. You know, it can be feast or famine. So when jobs come in, you go to work.
You work 18-hour days, 4 or 5 weeks at a time. Yeah.
Call comes in at 1 a.m. for, you know, a car going through a laundromat or something. You just go to work. You go board it up. You go clean it up, suck up the water, whatever's happened. And you take care of it because that's what you do in this space. And it takes a special family unit to be able to navigate all that together and be able to keep it going. And in your case, 21 years.
It really does. Yeah. I tell my employees all the time, this isn't your job. It's your family's job. And I've even taken that to another level. And when I interview somebody and it looks like there's somebody I want to hire, especially for a strategic position, I'll interview the whole family, or not the whole family, but the spouse. Just to make sure that everybody understands what the commitment level is, because it's a commitment.
It is indeed. So how do you go about that conversation then? where you come, I mean, is it somebody has experience in the restoration space and you're trying to make sure the spouse is on board, or what happens there?
It's somebody, I've had both situations. Somebody that's coming from the restoration space, a competitor, and I've had people I've hired, you know, off the street, that have never worked this industry. And I want to make sure the spouse understands, because a lot of companies don't really care about the family.
Sure.
You know, so they've never had that conversation, and the spouse never really completely understands what the commitment is.
Right.
So I'll do something like, I'll take them out for coffee or something like that. So it's a nice casual conversation. And, you know, after, you know, we have a few introductions or whatnot, I'll start kind of laying out, you know, the 1 a.m. phone calls and what that really means. And I've had a few spouses look at me and go, yep, you know what? Not really my thing. I don't think we need to do this. So it's an interesting conversation. It can be an eye opener, but yeah. I think it's definitely beneficial, because it's a family job.
Yeah. Well, let's talk from that perspective. What has it, like, if you're going to that extent to try to make sure you're having the right people on the right seats on your bus, then what kind of success rate do you think you have in interviewing the spouse? I mean, you had one tell you no, that probably worked out good, right?
It definitely, so, I dodged a bullet with that one.
I'm a big fan of trying to make sure we lay out who we are as a company when we're having conversations, because we want people to understand who we are. If you're not in alignment with our beliefs, regardless of what your beliefs are, left, right, Christian, non-Christian, whatever it may be, if your beliefs aren't in alignment with the company you're going to work for, you could have some struggles. And
absolutely,
if you're going to be butting heads with somebody as a result of, well, they don't think the same way I do, then let's not start down this path. So you've taken some steps to try to kind of ensure that same type of thing. Let's talk about the success of that and the way you strategize that and have you tweaked it over the years or any of those things?
So far, it's been pretty successful. You know, retention has been great everywhere I've used that strategy. You know, before I moved back to Houston, I managed a company in Vegas. We ran 6 crews, and all of my employees had been there almost since I started through the end when I left. So I think that strategy is definitely successful.
Okay. And have you had to tweak it over any time?
It's a case by case situation as far as what I do. Sometimes I just bring the spouse into the office and talk to them there. Sometimes if it's somebody I really feel like I want to get a better feeling for them and I want it more relaxed, like I said, we'll go for a cup of coffee or, you know, lunch or something, and that we can, everybody feels more relaxed, more at ease, and can talk more open.
Okay.
So, well, it's a case by case thing.
Yeah. Let's talk about how that impacts the culture of your business and what you guys do, for team building and making sure everybody's rowing in the same direction. What does that look like for you guys?
I treat it like a family. I tell my employees all the time, I was like, it's not just a job. It's a lifestyle. You know, we're family. I try to engage with them. I try to make sure I know what's going on with them personally. When I know somebody's struggling with something that, especially if it could impact their performance at work, I try to, you know, sit down with them and try to figure out, you know, what we need to do to work through those challenges. And I know a lot of HR people will say you're crossing a line, but if you're trying to build a culture within a company, I think it's something you need to do. You need to help your employees grow. You need to help them get through whatever challenges they're working through. And then team building, you know, we try to, again, every place I've ever been, including integrity, I try to take the team out at least once a month, do something fun, something that, that is team building. Holidays, you know, I fry turkeys and we have the whole family over, and, you know, we do it as a company.
Sure.
So
what kind of examples do you have of like team building? What's one of the best experiences you guys have had in a team building environment?
Two things I really have enjoyed, that went really well. And I probably need to do those things more. I did an escape room with our whole team once. And we divided the crew between myself and the owner, and which he and I are very competitive. And that was a great experience. That's probably something I need to do more of. And then bowling. Bowling is a very social thing, but it's also very competitive. You get to relax a little bit. That's been a really, really big team building exercise.
Yeah, the bowling side of it.
Yeah.
Do you heckle them while they're bowling too?
There's a lot of heckling that goes on. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. Like trash talking and, you know.
Yep.
I'm here to have a good time and build a relationship with you, but I'm going to berate you if you make a gutter bowl.
Yeah, there's a lot of that goes on.
Good. I'm glad to know that we're at least kindred spirits that way.
Yes, sir.
So you've been at this. You've been with Integrity for 21 years, 24 years?
No, I opened Integrity four and a half years ago.
4.5 years ago.
Right, okay. At the end of COVID, the lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you're in Texas, so it was kind of open anyway, but the rest of the nation started opening back up and you decided, hey, I'm going to start my own. What made you say this is time?
There was a lot of things that happened in that time period, and a lot of people said I was absolutely insane for doing it.
Sure. That's still true.
Yeah. I mean, we had just moved back from Vegas. My wife and I were working for another service master, you know, helping him out while we figured out what our next steps in life were. And then my wife passed away. And she was not a risk taker. She would have never been for me opening a business. Something I've always wanted to do. I had another business years ago and it stressed her to no end. But after she passed, I sat down and I talked to my daughter and I said, this is something I want to do. I said, I think it's time. I have the capital to do it. So it's not a struggle. So here I am.
Pulled the trigger. What did you start in then, in terms of services? What were you going after? What did you tee up? What do you guys do now?
We're full service. We started out with full service. I've kind of scaled back the content. Honestly, I don't feel like we have the staff to do it correctly. And I've got a good partner in the industry here in Houston that I don't need to do it. They have some of the same philosophies I have in business, so it works. So yeah, other than content, we're full service.
Okay. Yeah. And so then when you pulled the trigger, what was your target market? Do you do more residential, more commercial, more water losses, more fires? What were you going after at the time?
We do more structure repair than anything. I would like to do more mitigation, but and right, wrong, or indifferent, this was a decision I made when I started the company. I very intentionally wanted to not be involved with any insurance programs. So everything I do is organic referral. So that kind of drives what I'm doing. So, yeah.
Sure. Is everything you do some form of catastrophe related? Are you doing like remodel work as well?
Almost everything is catastrophe related. We do some remodels. Most of our remodels are customers that we started out as either mitigation or something like that. And they said, well, while you're here, can you do this also? So, sure. Yeah, we do some remodels.
Okay. So without naming any names, have you had a project that was the biggest struggle you ever had and you learned lessons from that project?
I learned lessons from almost every project, honestly.
Well, pick one. Let's talk about it. I'll tell you one of the things that we say, Steve, here is no good deed goes unpunished. So you try to do something to help somebody out and you're going to learn a lesson right there. You're like, people are not what you expect.
Every time I try to do something to help somebody out, it burns me every time. And it could be something where they didn't have a deductible. So I tried to help them with that. It could be something where they didn't have insurance. And I've done a few of these over the years. They didn't have insurance. So I said, you know what? This is my good deed for the year. And I took care of the mitigation. I took care of the rebuild. And inevitably something comes back to bite me in the butt.
Yeah, for sure.
And I always say I'm never doing it again. And
so and you're like me, right? You do it again because you're trying to do the right thing by the right people and it doesn't work
exactly.
what have you figured out some threshold for determining when you don't want to work with someone then as a result of some of those experiences?
I try to look for red flags. You know, people are very telling if you listen. And that's actually something I teach my daughter all the time. I was like, go sit in the mall. I was like, just sit and watch people and listen to them. Like, you'll learn a lot about them just by not even talking to them, just by listening to them and watching what they do. And that's what I've started doing with customers. So if I start hearing red flags, if I start hearing them bragging about, you know, taking advantage, like I had one customer that bragged about stealing from somebody in Mexico when they were on a cruise. You know what? That's probably not somebody I want to work with.
Yeah.
So
what's funny is the longer you're in the space and the more success you start to develop, the more you're willing to cut people off quickly.
Right? Yes.
Because you get in a position where you go, not all jobs are good jobs.
Where, no, you don't want every job.
When you're first starting, like you're trying to get everything. I got to have every job I can get. I got to pull all these things in. I got to make everything work. And then sometimes you hit some of those lulls in the market and other things are happening and you kind of pivot back into that again as well. And you're like trying to take every job again. And sometimes those come back to burn you as well because you realize, I felt something was off on that one. And now they want to file a lawsuit against me or now they want to complain to like whatever, right? It's just the reality of where it is. Any spectacular projects that you've worked on where you're like, man, that was so great. And I want to share that story about something that happened.
I have a few over the years. Honestly, my late wife and I started writing a book on some of the things we've seen and done over the years. And I will one day complete it. But yeah, I've got quite a few stories that are just absolutely spectacular. And just, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
I've worked in some historic properties that just, when I walked in there, it was like, what am I doing? I was like, I need to let this one go. This is probably not. And I'd figure it out and it turned out great. You know, I did some high rises in Vegas that were absolutely way beyond what I'd ever done. And at the end of the day, we completed the projects. All the customers were happy. The building owners were happy. And it's like, I don't know how I did this, but.
Yeah. And I think from that perspective, there's a lot of lesson right there. Right. And it's easy as a restorer to get in a position where you do feel overwhelmed at some of these projects. You start going 30 stories in the air and you're going to have to figure out how to pipe desk and air up into some of those spaces. And you just start to go, okay, is this one, am I going to fall on my face here or am I going to succeed? And sometimes you got to just be willing to take the chance, right? Would you agree with that?
No, absolutely. I'm a risk taker. So there's very few jobs I'll say, you know what? I just need to let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important for those that are listening to this that are going to jump off into something is sometimes you now with an abundance of caution, but sometimes you got to fake it till you make it. And you've got to be able to stick your neck out there and take that chance to make something happen if you want to be able to succeed and grow your company. If you're always reserved and always cautious about all those things and unwilling to really take a risk, then why are you trying to start your own business anyway? Because this whole thing is a risk. Are you gambling?
Absolutely,
you're gambling every day that you are running a business as an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
Talk to me a little bit about we talked a little bit about something you might wish you would have known before you got started, but what are some lessons that you've learned on this journey that you think you should share with, say, a 25-year-old kid that's trying to jump off into a space and start his own business, regardless of what it's in? What are some lessons you would want to be able to sit them down and say, hey, what are some lessons you would tell your daughter?
Actually, I just had this conversation with her. She struggles with confidence. And what I just got through telling her, and I would tell any business owner this, it's like, you can't be afraid to fail. I was like, you have to get out there. You have to try it. I was like, if you fail, you just learn that didn't work. Now you get to try it a different way and find out what does work. So that's the, I think the biggest thing I would say is don't be afraid to fail. Get out there and try it. The other thing I would tell people is, I'm involved in a peer group here in Houston, and I tell them, you know, when we meet, competitors aren't competitors. I was like, they're assets. I was like, you can reach out to that person and you can learn from them. You can, if you have a big enough job, you can bring them in to help you. I was like, those people are assets. They're not competitors. And I think that's true in any industry. We need to stop looking at people as the enemy.
Yeah, it's growing up in the space that I grew up in. It was that kind of mentality, right? It's like, I can't share what I'm doing. I can't communicate with these people and kind of be open about what I'm struggling with. You got to kind of put that cloak on and show how great you are and what's going well and only talk about those things. There's a little bit of that that still exists as a result of social media, but people are being more open and honest, I think, at some level now, because communication is clearer and more open, where you start to see, hey, this is somebody I can have a relationship with that I can work with. We've worked with a couple of different restoration companies in DFW on projects, brought them in, said, hey, man, you have access to these things. You know, let's use this and, you know, help them. They've turned some things over to me. We've handed some things over to them to build relationships. And those have been great for us.
Absolutely.
I think that's important. One, to recognize, yes, don't treat others as competition, because they can teach you. They can be a benefit to you. You can together accomplish some projects that you might not be able to do separately, and take some things away from some of the bigger boys, maybe even as a result of doing some of that.
I know I have my first large loss project. I was actually on the ServiceMaster franchise right when I hit. I had no idea what I was doing. I had never run a large loss shop. I made one phone call. I had six other franchises there. I learned a lot in that time period.
And it's helpful, right, to kind of navigate that and lean on that knowledge. And that's the reason we're doing this podcast, is because we want to be able to be a resource where people can go, you know, I saw this stuff on Business Aspirin. I saw this little snippet on social media, and they were talking about this thing, and maybe I go check out other podcasts and see what's going on. And they come find you and I talking, and they talk about, hey, be willing to take a risk. You know, sometimes, and they're just, the reality is just, don't rely completely on what you know, because what you know right now is insufficient to make you successful long term.
Or what you think you know.
Yeah, you got to be able to gain other knowledge. I learn stuff all the time. Sometimes I wish I didn't learn it, but sometimes I learn it. You know, a lot of it's learned the hard way, Steve.
Yes.
That's the reality of what we're doing. In terms of, you said something about your daughter, and, you know, she struggles with confidence. You got to be willing to, you know, go out there and, you know, I think it's important that we teach the next generation of entrepreneurs that it is okay to fail, but you only have failed when you haven't resolved it. If you can't resolve it, then maybe you failed. Otherwise, like what you're saying, you just learned. Like, you learned a lesson that didn't work. If you quit on it after it didn't work, then yeah, you know,
you failed.
Did fail. But there's so many ways to navigate getting around those things, and people like you that are willing to help somebody else out there, you know, learn and grow. And hey, this is how we solve this problem. Let's look at this way. What if we did this? Would this fix this problem? And so don't be afraid to go out there and take that risk and see what happens. And if it's not so detrimental that it costs you everything, then you're probably going to be okay.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think that's important that we kind of share that sort of thing. Talk to me about passions right now. Like, what gets you up in the morning? What are you excited about? What are the other things outside of restoration that you're working on? Like, who's Steve?
Life. That's what I'm passionate about right now. You know, when my wife passed, we were just getting to a point in life that we could enjoy life. So after she died, it's just like, no, it's like, life is too short to just work all the time. So that's what I'm really passionate about, is just living life. I love to travel. I love to go see new things, do new things. You know, I've got a couple of classic cars that I love.
What cars you got?
Mustangs. I got a 91 convertible and an 86 T-top.
Well, I've got a 66 I could show you. It's out here in the warehouse. I'll make sure we get some pictures of them to you.
I had a 69 at one point, and I had a I had a 2011 at one. I had a four at one time. So I'm a Mustang guy.
Yeah, I really enjoy mine. It's fun. I'm a little too big for it.
Yes.
Because it's still a stick and the steering wheel is a little bigger than I would like for it to be. So I can't, like, the way I have to shift that thing with my ankle only because I can't pick my leg up. It's an interesting challenge sometimes. I'm not huge. I mean, I'm 6'2", 240, right? So I'm not ginormous by any stretch of the imagination. But
Mustangs weren't built for big people.
It is a difficult vehicle to try to shift. So I'm like, all right. Okay, and travel. Like, what does travel look like? Are you jumping in a motorhome and running somewhere? Are you going
to I've got a 45-foot fifth wheel that we haul around. We just came back from the Bahamas. We were in Cancun a couple times last year. We went up to Niagara last summer. Ran some Missouri. Yeah, that's all just my current. Yeah, that's just my current travels. I've been to 46 of the states, so I've done a good bit of traveling already.
Yeah, and but most of this is after your wife passed.
The 46 states was one of the last trips I took with my first wife. We actually took a trip when we left Vegas and did a circle around the whole country. So we did Charleston, we did D.C., we did New York, we did Niagara, Detroit. We saw a lot of really cool, really interesting things.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, that's pretty great. You get to have those memories and reminisce about some of that stuff as well. It's really cool. And that's the reality of working in a space like this is it does, although you do have to work hard a lot of times and a lot of hours, you do get some freedoms that can pop up there, right? Like My oldest is a travel hockey kid, and I've been able to travel around the country and follow him and watch hockey tournaments at the same time, being able to service what I need to service from my phone in the restoration space with what I do. And it makes a lot of freedom and check on projects and navigate things and, you know, make updates and see what's happening and navigate that process just because, like, we live in a world now with the portion that I generally provide to our restoration company. But technology fits most of those roles, right?
Yeah, absolutely does.
I'm not slinging a ton of fans anymore. Most of the time, my guys are like, would you go away?
Let us do our work. Exactly.
so most of the time, they're trying to run me off anyway, and I just can go do what I'm doing.
You're in the way.
you're slow and old. Get out of the way. Let's make this
happen. I mean, my current wife and I both have jobs that we can do on the road. You know, we have a 10-day trip to Austin coming up. Got a satellite on the trailer, so we're both taking our laptops, and if we need to work, we can work.
Yeah, and that's great, right? To be able to live in an environment that you can do that. Any last little tidbit of information you want to share with anybody on an entrepreneurship journey?
Just don't be afraid to fail. Just get out there and do it. You know, that's what this country is built on, is you know, people getting out there and making it happen. So get out there and make it happen.
Out there, make it happen. Find out something you're passionate about, something that you want to do, and go work at it. And like I think you said at one point that, you know, you still love every day of your job, and you've got to be able to find something that's going to allow you to have that same passion that gets you up in the morning that says, man, I enjoy helping people. I love to be able to help them navigate through this catastrophe that they're enduring and through life's storm and make life better for them at the end of it. And
I tell people all the time, I get to help people and get paid to do it. I love it.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, man, I think there's certainly some nuggets in there that people can listen to and pull out from this podcast. And man, I really appreciate you being on. I will get you a picture of the car and I'll have Tyler follow up with you on a couple of things. And man, I appreciate you, Steve, being on with me.
No problem. Absolutely. I enjoyed it.
If I can ever be of help to you in any way, and I'm always here. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, same here. If I can ever help, just let me know.
All right, man. Well, take care. Thanks for being on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.